This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station. Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Boy, we're lucky to get this guy, Dave. He's in the middle of his world tour, so he's on a little bit of a stop
time
before he moves on to the next part of the country and next part of the world he plans to dominate.
But Can we just have the crumbs of, Ryan Roland Smith's
That's what we get. That's what we get right
life.
Now. On the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, he is here. Ryan Roland Smith, how are you, man?
Hey, listen, you got 5 minutes, so make it quick.
Now
I've got a plane to catch.
The key question is, are you flying coach? Did you trade in your ticket, or are you going in style? What's happening here?
All right, well, listen to this, guys. Listen to this Husband of the Year nominee.
Uh-oh.
Matter of fact, I should just give myself the award. Listen to this one. So MLB and MLB Network are the ones who are putting all this whole thing on, right? And they, you know, nice enough, they give me a business class ticket. And, you know, 10-hour flight, you get the lay-down bed, the whole thing. Well, I said, you know, I'd love Amanda to come with me on this trip to Germany. I was there for a week, even though I was pretty busy working. But she comes with me. So what we do, we get her an economy ticket, of course. I'm not paying for a first-class ticket. You got to be joking. So she's got an economy ticket, but we use, like, she's on the wait list to get upgraded, right? Doesn't get the upgrade. Well, guess what the husband of the year does? I go sit coach. She sits up in business class. Boom.
Oh,
how about that?
That's good.
Well, you're used to sitting in coach, though.
That's true.
Because of your cheapness.
That's true. It was nothing new to me. And listen to this. Yeah. Guys, it was insane. It wasn't just sitting in coach and a couple of them. Every seat was packed. There was the guy next to me got in a fight with the dude across from me over the overhead bins. I swear, it was just a circus. And I'm like, man, what have I done? What am I doing? I was about to text a man and say, you know what? I don't want to be husband of the year. You come back here. I've got work to do.
Deals off.
I'm relinquishing the award.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So the guy next to you was fighting with the guy across from you?
Yeah, so what happens? So real quick, I don't want to take up too much time here, but you know, the overhead bins, as you know, they get pretty crammed up there. And
right.
I put my carry on up there. I pushed some bags across, and kind of stood there like I owned the place, you know. And he had his bag there, right? And so there was a little bit of daylight up there, with some space. And he keeps looking up because he knows the bin's still open. He knows someone might come along and try and say, oh, look, there I am. This dude comes with this massive bag and just kind of like starts to throw it up there. And the guy next to me just jumped out of his seat like, no, you, that's my bag up there like this. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Sure enough, they get into it. They square off over my, over my lap, basically. I'm like, what am I doing? What is happening right now? That's how it went down, I'm telling you. It was crazy.
Do you think these days people try to cram too? You know, the carry-on thing has gotten ridiculous.
Like, yeah.
Just pay the $25, okay?
Exactly. I mean, some of these carry-ons, let's go.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's a joke.
They're trying to cram a suitcase up there. It'll fit. Let me just punch it 2 or 3 times. It'll fit. One other piece of business we got to clear up. And I have not heard you say this and proud to say that. What's with the new phenomena of people calling earned runs or earned run average an earnie? What is that?
So, hold on. Have I said that?
I don't think you've said it, which makes me very happy to be your very proud to be your friend.
Well, we've got punchies. We've got what was the other one? There was a punchies or something else.
There was punchies. There was earnies and
ribbies. Ribbies. Three ribbies. RBIs.
Ribbies is an old one, these feel new. These feel like the punchies and earnie. He's got a 3-2-8 earnie, or he gave up four earnies. I'm like, oh, stop it with that. Come on.
Yeah, it's like you're talking to your 10-year-old playing T-ball or something. You're like, oh, hey, you didn't give up any earnies. That's good, buddy. Let's go get ice cream. That's what it sounds like. Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of it, actually. And now I'm going to be very – there was a point there where I was trying to be cool and try and talk all quick, and I may have slipped out a punchy. Oh, no, I may have nearly slipped one out. I was like, oh, man. I'll tell you right, if Dave and Bob are listening to this, I'm a dead man. I'll never be allowed back on the air again.
Well, the point is you corrected yourself. And
that's right.
And I think you might need to talk to our guy, Brad Adam. I'm not sure if he's doing it or not, but there's no room for that.
He's doing it.
In the NFL, people always say guard instead of cover. Like you cover a guy, in pass defense, and he's guarding him. Like, no, that's for basketball. That's what drives me nuts. But it sounds like what's with the baby talk now?
The one that drives me nuts, and I get it. I'm fine with it, whatever. But just kind of it's cringy. He's like, he had 3 steaks. like ribeyes, RBI. Have you guys ever heard that? That's like, come on.
Yeah. That's a, that's good. Man. That's a long
See, it
way
is cringeworthy.
Boy, yeah. I have not heard that one. Thank God. All right. Well, let's talk about yesterday, Ryan. I mean, the road trip was dreadful. They lose 7 of 10 to the A's, the Angels, the Royals, capped off by a 9-run lead being completely washed away in the bottom of the sixth inning. They lose 13-12. I said on Twitter, I thought it was the worst loss in the history of the franchise because of it's not the biggest blown lead. They did that with Cleveland back in 2001, but they won 116 games in 2001, and that was on August 5th. This is September 25th. You only got 10 games left. Right. You're trying to get to the postseason for the first time in over two decades, and you blow a 9-run lead. To me, that was the worst, considering where they're at in the season, what's at stake, and the way this road trip has gone. Is that overstating it? What do you? Is there another game that stands out as a more just gut punch of a loss to this team?
Well, I'm just having a quick think now. I mean, the Mariners have been to the playoffs, you know, 95, 2001, like only just a couple times, right? So you try and think around those times, was there a bigger blown lead or a crucial time of year against the Royals, who literally are in the, you know, bottom five in every offensive category? I will say this. It was bad yesterday, and it was tough. I was on Root Sports. It was tough to do the post game because I was like, man, no one wants to hear me talk right now. No one wants to hear that. If they're watching this and not watching the Seahawks game, which I'm sure a lot of them were, or they flicked it over. But I will say this. I was in the car driving home yesterday, and I was hearing some things that were interesting. First of all, the night before, Paul Sewald, I love Paul Sewald. He's an absolute gamer. He made a comment. He had to throw two innings.
Yeah.
And he said, I was kind of shocked a little bit. I had to throw two innings because I haven't done that for a while. Now, when he said, and that's just one little anecdotal comment I heard, right? When you're in a situation where the Mariners, they keep checking out the nerd stats of the probability of the making the postseason. They see the 99%, et cetera, et cetera. They're looking at this going, oh, well, you know, we can just kind of, you know, run through a tough road trip. But look, we're sitting with some cushion. You go back 12 months ago, wasn't the case. They were chasing last year. Paul Sewald last year, he would have thrown five innings if you asked him. Not that he was complaining. He was totally fine saying it. But when you have that, and I've been there as a player, when you all of a sudden you sort of have that cushion, you have other bullpen members around you knowing that you only have to throw the one inning this time because you have some support. You get a that big 9-run lead. If you're Luis Castillo, day after signing that big deal, and you go out for the sixth, and I hate this. Hey, just throw strikes. Just get over the plate. You know, just try and, you know, get these. That's the worst mentality ever. I'm not saying he had that mentality, but it was a slap in the face. I was thinking this on the drive home. This timing it was actually good timing for it. And what I mean by that is they've got a day off today. They're coming back for this homestand. They're going to have some good crowds. They're going to have this stretch where they have – I don't care about the opponent. The fact they're playing the Texas – I'm sick of hearing, oh, you know, they're playing bad opponents. That should just mop the floor.
After this road trip, there are no easy opponents.
There's not. I just think this was a big wake-up call to say, listen, we have some holes and we can't get comfortable. We have to keep our foot on the gas. That's what this game told me. This wasn't a situation. I heard some other people talking about, oh, they're choking under the pressure. That's not the case at all. That happens in the playoffs. That happens after you get there. This is all gravy right now where you're just kind of rolling and enjoying the ride. That's not the case at all. They're banged up. They're exhausted. I get that. They are exhausted because they've been pushing and pushing for so long to get out of that 10 games under 500, et cetera. And now all of a sudden, here they are in a good spot. They've lost Julio Rodriguez, Eugenio Suarez. Man, that's massive. The energies just get zapped. I mean, you know, Julio headed back to Seattle. He wasn't even on the bench. So you look at these things, you're like, man, we have to start making this up a little bit. And then they have a situation yesterday where Matt Brash comes out. I guarantee you, when you're in the bullpen and you have Luis Castillo pitching and you have a 20-run lead, whatever it was, you're sitting in the bullpen. You're not thinking about pitching. Next thing you know, hey, get going. He was caught flat-footed. So all these little things I'm talking about, I think, was a really good slap in the face to say, listen, you guys cannot take your foot off the gas. If I need you to throw two innings, if I need you to just step it up, if I need you to these last two starts to be the biggest start to your career, it's going to happen. And I think that's what yesterday did. And I'm really glad Scott Server said he addressed the team. I'm so happy he addressed the team. Not to rip him, but just to look him all in the eye and just say, look, we're good. We're all good. But we cannot to take our foot off the gas. So I think yesterday, honestly, as embarrassing as it was for a team, it may not be a bad thing because all the pieces are going to slowly start to come together this next 10 days.
I'm with you on the strength of schedule thing because what they went 3-7.
Man. Yeah, they dropped 7 of 10.
Yeah, so, and I'm wondering if you've, because I've been on that side of it, Ryan, where I'm playing for pride or whatever at the end of the season. There's a lot of motivation for, I think, players with the A's, Detroit, Texas. First of all, you're playing against a playoff team like the Mariners, possible playoff team. Lots of people are going to be watching, and you want to be the guy that they say, oh, that guy killed us, you know? And have you ever been in that role in Major League Baseball where it's like, hey, I want to be the guy that's the thorn in their side and maybe knock them out of the playoffs?
Oh, okay. So a couple of things on that, and that's a great point. Because here's the thing, when you look at these Oakland A's teams and these Angels teams, you're going to come across a starter, and this was me. I mean, I was on some bad Mariner teams, man. That month of September, you have these young players who kind of mail it in. Yeah, I'm in the big leagues. This is awesome. I'm making a ton of money. I'm going on these road trips. I'm having so much fun. But then you had people like me who I'm like, man, I have to dominate this last month. I have to shove it up the backside of these really good teams so I can go into spring training the next year and be on this team. This is my audition. Yeah. I went into those last starts, man. It was the World Series. I had so much to prove. And when you're facing a team, especially in your division, that is just kind of sitting there having a blast and they got a packed house and everything, man, you have that motivation. That's exactly right. The other one that happened with me, which was just insane, they started talking about, I think this is 2008, I believe it was. They said, oh, if we lose X amount of games, we'll get the first pick in the draft. Someone said to me, a reporter said to me, oh, do you realize like your next two starts could have a big impact on the draft? And I'm sitting there going, you know what, dude, you just motivated me. You're not going to get that draft pick because are you joking? I'm going to absolutely go nuts here and kill it. I don't care who I'm facing because I was facing the teams who are going to the playoffs. I'm going to kill it because I don't care about your draft. I care about me making this team. Right. So there's all these little things, and that's what you run into. That's why this strength of schedule thing, none of these big league players, a very small amount of them, are just mailing it in. They're just not. They can't. You just can't do that because of pride and because you want to make the team for next year, especially if you're a young team.
It's funny, too. You mentioned the whole draft pick thing. And, yeah, if you tank it, try getting a veteran. Like you said, you're selfish. You should be. It's about me. It's not about your stupid. I don't care about your stupid draft pick that you have. It's like I always say, like in the NFL, it's like try telling a bunch of guys to, hey, let's throw this game so I can go draft a guy who's younger and cheaper than you are.
Yeah, it's very obvious that the person who asked me that has never actually competed a day in their life in any sporting arena ever to even think that's like even me going, oh, yeah, this would be great. Woohoo! Mariners got the first pick overall. Thanks to me. You kidding me?
Thanks to me. I really stunk it up. You're welcome. Yeah. Hey, Ryan, what do you make of some of the other struggles that have gone on with the team that are sort of fundamental? Their defense, which was stellar throughout the majority of the season. This dates back to even before Gino being hurt and Julio being hurt. Their defense was starting to get a little loose, and Scott came out and made it a point to specifically address it after the game a couple of times. We've seen the defense. It certainly doesn't help guys playing out of position. Ty France at third, things, Frazier in the outfield. That doesn't help. But there were problems before this defensively where they just kind of got loose, and then the pitching has just been remarkable all year, and you've kind of gone through a stretch where Kirby kind of throws up his first dud. Logan Gilbert threw up a dud. Obviously Luis Castillo just threw up one, and then the bullpen failing. I mean, all these things that were constants seem to be sort of taken a step back all at the same time. And then the offense, 5 of those 10 games, Ryan, they scored 1 run.
Yeah, and so a couple things you mentioned. First of all, when you're playing out of position like that, and I know, this happens more so without Ty France playing third base, Adam Frazier playing left field, even, Jared Kelnick sliding over to center field when he has been playing on the corners his time down in AAA, et cetera, et cetera. So when you factor those things in, then you have a guy on the mound like Marco Gonzalez, who is a pitch to contact guy. And you have to get that. You just have to get those extra outs for him to get deep in the game. So that's a big one for me. And that's something that really stood out to me more recently. The other thing that gets magnified on the defensive side of things is when you're not scoring runs, when you're in a situation where it's a tied game, and you simply cannot give that extra out because you are not scoring runs on your end. You're not going to put up a four spot. It's just not, because you know, because you don't have certain guys in the lineup or whatever it may be. But you know, again, defensively, this happens. I think J.P. Crawford, he hasn't been the same defensively, and that's not because he's, you know, all of a sudden he's not the same guy. He's been banged up. J.P. Crawford, when you look at, I was doing some games on the last, not this road trip, the road trip prior, and I started going down like a little bit of the list of things that he's had to sort of deal with some of the injuries. When you're playing shortstop and you want to be extremely athletic and get those extra steps of range and everything else, and all of a sudden you the defensive metrics are all public now, you can see them, and you're trying to keep up because you're a gold glove shortstop and everything else, and you're dealing with these injuries, man, it's tough. And you could see it. And a couple things happened. Number one, he lost a step because of a few injuries he was dealing with, little things that perked up. He had that. He lost a step because he had that suspension too. I'm even going back to that. I was looking at all these little, this kind of timeline. The other thing is, you could see from JP that there was the routine play or the play he usually makes where he's trying to do a little bit too much. He's trying to overcompensate because he's lost that step due to injury, or because he's lost that little backhand, that fluidness in the hole and things like that. So I think a lot of these factor in, but more so recently, the fact that you got Ty France playing third base and Adam Frazier playing left field. I got to say, playing out of position, man, it's hard. It is really tough.
You look at the role players that we were talking about and just who you value out of these guys. You got Luis Torrens. You've got Kelnick, who's actually played pretty well, but you know, Abraham Toro, Dylan Moore, Taylor Trammell, Sam Haggerty, those types of players. Who are the guys you think that are on the upper end that really can help them in going into this playoff stretch?
Yeah, I think first of all, Sam Haggerty, we've talked about him a bunch. He just continues to do some of the little things that, and also too defensively at left field. There's been a bit of a hole in left field, and
that was very nice of you.
Well, yeah, it's been tough. It has been tough in left field. And so I think he's a big one for me. The fact that he can play that plus defense in left field, and you can see it. You can sit there and go, oh, I'd rather have this big bat. I don't care about defense in, you know, left field. Or no. You can see it. And when you're not scoring a bunch of runs, and you're in these close games, and there's that keeping that runner at a certain base, or cutting a ball off to stop that extra base, whatever it may be, it's a huge one. So he's number one. First, and then Jared Kelnick, man, I am impressed with how comfortable everything looks. A lot easier. He's not fighting himself physically, mentally. He looks different. And I don't know, you know, I mean, he had the Gatorade bath. I don't know what was going on there.
That was weird.
That was bizarre, man. Because a couple things on that, and yeah, you know, when you watch the extended video, because you know that video was shared with me the day I landed from Germany. Matter of fact, from someone we all know. Mm-hmm. But I watched that, and a couple things. Number one, you know, when I see that, it's dude, you've just had to scratch and claw your way to get back on a major league field. You've had the worst summer of essentially your life. You've watched everyone else have success. You've watched guys in the big leagues, you know, go on this playoff run. Julio Rodriguez signed an extension. When you come up and you're only a couple days into it and someone wants to throw Gatorade over your head, you embrace that, man. When you have an established player throwing Gatorade over your head, get another, go have a bath in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And have a big smile
on
your face.
Ask for more.
Right, and be present, because as much as he's mad and pissed off with himself or whatever's going down, these days when you're playing in the big leagues, I'm saying this as an ex-player, they are limited. And these moments, when you have those big moments where someone wants to throw Gatorade over your head, you got to embrace those moments. But when you watch the video, now just on that, you watched him there, he was giving hugs and everything. I don't know what was the situation. I've tried to ask and get the real answer. Regardless, with him on the field, with what I've seen, whatever chip on his shoulder or whoever he's mad at or mad at the world or himself or his whatever, his best buddy, I don't care. Keep that hunger these next 10 days. Don't get comfortable. Just keep shaking your head and getting mad all the time, because, man, he looks really good right now, and it is fun to watch when you see a player like that who you know has ability to start to come to fruition.
I wonder if he's just a guy who – had such a different upbringing maybe than everybody
right.
else. Like
for
he
sure.
he's kind of like what he was on like travel teams, and it's like yeah. these the AAU basketball players that, you know, they don't go and they're not on a high school team, they're not on a college team, and just don't really, you know how to maybe act in those
for
situations.
Sure. For sure. And look, he's young too. I mean, and I say that, I know he's not 12 years old, I get it. But when I say young, it's still the time he's had as an established, and this is what I mean by young, the time he's had in the big leagues as an established player who's productive is limited. So I'd like to see him as a productive everyday big leaguer to see how he acts with teammates when sort of, you know, trying to judge his character. Because again, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know him personally. But man, what he's doing on the field, keep that going, because man, they're going to need it these next 10 days. That is for sure.
Hey, quickly, before we let you go, you sort of slyly alluded to left field. You didn't name anybody, so I will. Jesse Winker has not been great this year in either side, defensively specifically, but at the plate, not what you expected. And I get people hitting me on Twitter. Why would Scott Service is derelict in his duties to even put that guy out there? Why would he continue to run him out there? And I get it from Scott's perspective. This is a guy who's got a track record. He's got a resume. He was an all-star last year, hit 24 home runs, hit over 300.
Yep.
So you know he's capable. And I know you'd love to have that bat come to life for this stretch run and into the postseason. But at what point is it diminishing returns? And we'll see what happens after being plunked on the wrist. I don't know what his status is. But is there any part of you that feels like, all right, this just isn't his year. Let's just move away unless somebody needs a day off. We're going to put him out there. We'll DH him here and there. I mean, how do you see him being used moving forward?
Well, first of all, the first person who will tell you that he's disappointed and he's not up to hitting his ceiling is Jesse Winker. You can totally tell. And with the silver lining here, I think he'll go into this offseason, make massive changes, and hopefully come out next year and just be an absolute force. As far as what with Scott Service putting him in the lineup every day, depending on what happens with his hand after he got hit, I think for a couple of things, and I know this, people roll their eyes at this, there is value there with how he handles at bats, right? With how he's on base and everything else. The other thing I think that Scott Service, with talking about putting him back in the lineup every day, is because it's like he sees something where he's turning the corner and that doesn't quite come to fruition. So it's going to be interesting. Again, I know he has the injury, but it's going to come down to that last weekend when you're starting to talk postseason matchups, how your lineup is going to be constructed. That's where you'll start. I mean, we saw this last year with Yusei Kikuchi. They just simply took him out of the rotation. Everyone's like, oh, he's an all-star. You know, it doesn't matter because this is where it's crunch time. So I think you'll see some of these really tough decisions, regardless of who was an all-star, who's getting paid what, whatever. How does my lineup look the best? How do we match up the best going into the playoffs come October 6th?
Ryan, great stuff. We appreciate you taking time out of your world tour to speak to a couple of common unwashed like Dave and myself.
So. And Ryan, whenever Bob's gone and I need a fill-in host, he's always on vacation somewhere around the world. So.
He's just conveniently booked.
Yeah.
No, seriously, guys, it's like I said, I mean, we've been doing this all season long. This is my favorite part of the year. This is my favorite part of the week, excuse me, Monday, 3 o'clock. I love it.
Yeah.
You guys, it's a blast.
We look forward to it each and every week, and let's hope we're talking next week about them locking down their spot in the postseason and daydreaming about what's in front of them. We appreciate it, man. Safe travels out there. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks,
Ryan.
There you go. Our conversations with him are always fun, man.
Oh, man. It's the best.
I just love how self-deprecating he is about being cheap or whatever. Like the husband of the year.
His detail and telling stories and everything is so hilarious.
Hey, our weekly conversation with Ryan Roland-Smith is brought to you by Sunset Chevrolet. And if you missed any of it, check the podcast page after the show, seattlesports.com. It'll be there afterwards. All right. There's one word to sum up the Seahawks defense yesterday. We'll talk about that next. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station. Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Seattle, my best friends in the whole wide world, certainly in the future, I'm hoping. I don't know if my picture is up there yet. I've been talking about that last week.
Well, certainly wouldn't be for a lack of trying.
Has it been too obvious, too heavy-handed?
It doesn't work, Bob.
It won't be because I didn't put in effort.
You gave it your best shot.
That's right. I'm going down swinging, Dave. I'm going down swinging on this one. But yes, meanwhile, we were talking about the Seahawks game, and as Thumb put it there was one word to sum up what we saw defensively from this team yesterday, and it comes courtesy of Quandre Diggs.
These guys played a hell of a game on offense today, and we stunk it up on defense. You know what I mean? I know people got mad at me for my comments last week, but if you don't want to hear the truth, then don't ask me questions. You feel me? I tell the truth. You know what I mean? And my teammates understand that, so they don't take it the wrong way. We just got to be better. If we were the team we were 2 years ago, you know, we could take days off. We were 12-4. You feel me? We're not there yet. So at the end of the day, I'm not saying we can't be that, but at the end of the day, we got to work to get to that point.
I couldn't love that comment more, Dave.
I couldn't love this guy more.
I mean, come on, man. Who got mad at him last week? Somebody got mad at something he said last week? I like that. You don't want to.
Was
you
it
don't
one of the players? His teammates?
No, probably somebody in social media.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There are certain people, and they'll text us, you know, to talk about the good things, talk about the positive. Now, you got to tell the whole story. You want to hear the whole story. And it's not all roses, it's not all bouquets being thrown out. There are downsides. The Mariners, the Seahawks, there's always something that's not great that you address. It's all part of the same story.
Yeah, I just love how also his teammates know what. Here's the one thing is, if you say things like that, you have to have, number one, just the backing. Like, you have to have the I won't say reputation, but you have to have the career of. I mean, nobody has had. I think he's since 2019. He's got more picks than anybody, or something like that. He's had five a year, the last couple of years.
Well, he's got the respect in that locker room.
But that's the word I was looking for. I mean, he has the respect, so he can say things that, you know, are maybe a little bit, you know, get under people's skin or motivate them a little bit. But that's just who he is, and that's why he's one of the captains. I love the way he speaks. I love the things that he says, and he always takes accountability. I like also that he said, "Hey, our offense gave us a chance to win," which they did. They scored 23 points. So, that was a good performance by them. And, you know, and then, yeah, it's I think that this is where it needs to start. I don't think it's because of accountability or anything like that. Like, I think everybody wants to do their job really badly. I just think that there's lots of confusion going on right there. And so maybe this is a point where you start to simplify things and everything. But as far as leadership goes, you know, on defense, him and Al Woods are two just awesome examples of just steadiness.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, how do you think he's played? Not Quandre. Al, but Quandre. How do you think he's played through three games? And that's the other part people need to keep in mind, whether we're saying something positive or negative. It's three games.
Yeah.
It's three games. You react to what's in front of you.
Well, he's missed a couple tackles. You know, and, you know, he had one in San Francisco that was pretty glaring. And then, you know, the other day there was a couple, one on the run with Patterson. I just think he took a wrong lane. And then the touchdown to, what was the kid's name? The kid from USC. I want to say Bishop for some reason. What's his name? I think that part is, you know, just part of how the defense is playing right now. The defense is just not playing well. And I think, and I don't know, but I think that it looks to me like it's just a little bit too complex right now, that they need to simplify things. If you ever watch that Carl Scott video where he's talking about all of the defenses and how they morph into, if they go here and that they go in motion and they do this and that, and it's a lot to remember. And a lot of times when you're on the field and you have a defense and it makes sense, it's just a no-brainer. That's the best defense you can be in. But if it's one where, oh, this is an exception, now all of a sudden there's another exception. This guy went in motion. Oh, now there's this kind of formation.
Drake London,
thank you. Bishop.
Yeah. That's from Blakester and Puyallup.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, yeah, it was a first-round draft choice from USC, but that is when defenses, I think, start to break down. And that's kind of what it looks like to me. But I have a lot of faith. You know, the disappointing part to me is that I thought going into the season that the defense was going to be the biggest difference.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the biggest difference, if you don't count last year, to me, it's Rashad Penny. You know, if you don't count those last five games, but he just the way he started, the way he's running, he's just different. Mm-hmm. And I would say this, even though it was a bad ending for Gino, Gino has upped his game. I think his upside is a little bit higher, but it's not elite. But I think it's just a little bit better.
What do you think of that? And we had some people texting in earlier this, and I didn't get to it. And you guys can text in again, 866-979-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. There are some that were mad. We were even pointing out Gino made a mistake. There are others saying, why are you guys giving so much praise to Gino? He's done this against two terrible defenses in the Broncos and the Falcons. Certainly were not a good defense. I think the Broncos defense looked pretty darn good last night. But saying we're giving him too much praise for succeeding or having success against a really poor defense. And then when he played the 49ers, we saw they didn't muster a single point. There might be some truth to that. I mean, you got to, again, you can only react to what's in front of you,
yeah,
is how I view it. Like, there's three games we can respond to here. That's it. We'll see how he goes the rest of the season. But when he plays well, you talk about it. When he doesn't, you talk about it.
Yeah, I think he's played poorly at times and better than I thought he would. And I guess that's where I would have to categorize it. Like, what do you think about Gino and compared to last year? Just as far as my expectations, he's exceeded them in certain situations. Some mm-hmm. of the throws, the throw to Parkinson against the Broncos was phenomenal. I just didn't think he had that in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the throws that he made yesterday, you know, certainly the scramble and throw to Will Disley. Yeah, and then he's played poorly at times, but I guess the thing that's caught my eye is that I feel like he does have a little bit higher upside. I'm not saying that he's part of the, you know, elite quarterback club, but I do think that he can be one of the better quarterbacks that are the rest of the guys, you know what I mean?
The next tier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's now potentially, and you have to do it. Like, if he goes on at this rate where it's up and down and up and down, no. Yeah, no, it's not. You're not headed that way.
I feel like, listen, I've been as big a critic of Gino as anybody. I don't hate him. I don't think he stinks. I don't think he's great. I think he's a good quarterback. I put him in that same category as Tavares Jackson. Everybody loved him. Tough as nails. Could win games for you. He could win games. But he wasn't the guy to get you over the hump and could really rally the team and get you to the promised land.
Fourth quarter drive.
Yeah, he was just a guy. He was solid. He typically made the right choices. Athletic. Everybody loved his toughness, but he was a guy that was going to get you to, if you had a good team around him, yeah, you might be a 10-win team, 9-win team.
Yeah.
You're not going to go too far. They're just kind of limited in how far they can go with that team on their back, so to speak. And Gino is that guy to me. He can make some great plays and win a game here and there, but ultimately, is he your guy? Is he your leader, your special, that specialness you need at that spot? I don't think so. But yeah. I think he's good. I think we've seen it. He's been, for the most part, been pretty darn good this year. Yeah, he's made some mistakes, but that's kind of who he is, I think. So, meanwhile, getting back to the Mariners, after a loss like that, what comes next for this team? We'll talk about what they're going to do in this day off and how we should be approaching this final 10-game stretch here at home. That's coming your way next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, we got the Pete Carroll press conference, so stay tuned for that. Also, Rashad Penny will join us at 5 o'clock today, so looking forward to that conversation. Really nice guy, and a guy who seems to perhaps have turned the corner. It's amazing he's in his fifth year in the league, and he's still only 26 years old.
I think you said that earlier about him being in his fifth year. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Come on. Really?
Yeah, true story.
It's amazing. It is a true story. Yeah, like you said. It always starts off like, if the guy's a super nice guy, you know, you just root for him. You want him to.
But CJ Procise, love that guy.
Yeah, CJ was a
couldn't
was
ask
a
for really a nicer nice guy.
Yeah, you really want to root for him. But I think he just entirely, it was about him just having bad luck.
Yeah,
CJ.
Yeah, and we'll talk to him about it. We'll ask him about the Adrian Peterson impact that everybody, you know, seems like everybody just gave him 100% credit for turning Rashad around. We'll ask him about that. But just a good dude who looks to be trending the right way. I'd like to see him, I feel weird saying this, I'd like to see him, you know, run the ball a little more. The first two games, they hardly ran it at all. They were in the bottom of the league in rushing attempts.
Right.
So they, you know, there were more in this game, and it seems to be a impactful part of the offense and a way for them, if the defense is that spotty, to say the least. All right, let's drain that clock. Let's extend some drives and keep that burning that clock and limit the exposure of the defense until they can find their rhythm. So, yeah, we'll talk more about that again. Rashad Penny coming up at 5 o'clock. Now, after we've talked about this loss yesterday, which was epic, which was, you know, I started the little Twitter battle with people out there amongst themselves, which I always enjoy.
You like that, like the textures when you pit them against each other?
Yeah, yeah, it's funny.
Oh,
it's
can
funny
you believe
to read.
This? The 206, what an idiot. He said this.
Then somebody will go, you tell the 206, the 425
said
this. Shut up. At least on Twitter, they see their names. They'll be like, and what was funny is I saw one guy going, calm down. It's just a game. All I'm saying is. And the other person going, you're right, you're right. I got to it.
Just, oh, my God.
And I'm just kind of observing the whole thing going, wow, this is craziness. But.
And you were sitting back like Jerry Seinfeld going in. And I got to say, I pretty much
started
the whole thing.
Well, it was all in response to my comment about it being the worst loss in franchise history. And that's all subjective. Somebody else is going to think a playoff loss is worse. Somebody's going to think the game against Cleveland is worse. And so, but what I did find, and you can follow that thread if you want to on Twitter, at Bob Stelton. It's pretty entertaining. But if you're on Twitter. But what I did find is a lot of those, and there actually weren't that many. There are most people agreeing, but the few that did say, oh, stop it, calm down, hyperbole, you're trying to be a shock jock, all this. I'm like, no, this is, tell me one worse. Give me an example. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. So it's all subjective. Somebody's going to think the Cleveland game was worse in 2001. Somebody's going to think a playoff loss. So whatever you think, you guys can text that in. But as Scott Servais sits here, I mean, I can't even imagine what he's thinking. I mean, he's sitting there watching it unfold. He can't really do anything out there on the field. He's bringing in relievers. Everybody's mad at him because he brought in this reliever or that reliever. This bullpen has been great. They've been great. So he's got every reason to have faith that whoever he brings in, whether it's Festa, whether it's Brash, whether it's Munoz, doesn't matter. He's got every reason to believe they're going to succeed. And when he's pushing those buttons and one after another, they're not working. Yesterday, I mean, Brash is walking everybody. Everybody's giving up earned runs. Everybody's giving up earnies, Dave.
Oh, stop it.
But Scott saying this day off today is coming at the right time mentally and physically.
We need an off day. There's no question about it. It was a rough trip for us physically, probably even more than mentally on this trip. But get the off day tomorrow, come back, and get back to playing like we play. Clean baseball, controlling the strike zone, doing the little things that allow you to close out games. And, you know, we're very capable of doing it. We've done it all year long.
Yeah, just very unordinary. As far as especially the pitching. I mean, Castillo walks three. I mean, I know that's not terrible, but it's just so not like him.
No, he's your ace.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, Brash gave up a ton of hits. That one's not super surprising to me.
Well, he's a walking guy. They walked. Here's the other thing.
Sorry, walked
two,
right?
In total, they walked five guys, five players in that half inning. Every one of them came around to score.
Wow.
I mean, that's just how damaging a walk can be, especially when the wheels are coming off. But you walk five and they all score.
Well, and that's why guys like George Kirby are so smart. I mean, for a young guy, that's a huge deal. You know, it's something you have to pay attention to. But yeah, I was looking Brash, I guess, just because of, you know, he's kind of wild. I mean, I think he's a great addition to the bullpen and everything. But maybe he sometimes would he throw 16 pitches, only six were for strikes. So yeah, it's I kind of expect that from him, but you know, not so much from like Swanson and Castillo and everything. You know, I thought. That was a great conversation with Ryan Roland Smith about the strength of schedule and what's coming up here. Because that really, I think, is much more like it is what he told us, that you, if you're one of those teams, and you know, we're talking about the A's, Texas, and the Detroit Tigers, those three teams right there, every one of them is loaded with guys that would just love to knock the Mariners out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they want to you know, ruin dreams here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to be the guy that was like, you know, we always talk about, you know, certain players like, man, that guy kills us every single time. You want to be that guy, man. And so this whole notion that, oh, those guys on the A's and, you know, the Tigers and the Texans, Rangers, they're not gonna just mail it in. These are competitors, man. These guys are professionals. There's something on the line, whether it's making the team next year or getting a new contract or whatever. So Yeah, I'm looking at it much differently, and especially after this road trip where you went 3-7. Remember, we were talking about how they were the hottest team in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. I think they were 8-2, and then this road trip starts, and look what you got. So this is a wake up call time.
Yeah, they've got to get it turned around. Final 10-game stretch. I'm being told there are still tickets available to each of these games, and they've got the value games going on where you can get tickets as cheap as $10. I mean, wow. The weather's great. This is the final 10-game home stretch into the postseason for the first time in over two decades, so hopefully the park is packed. But, yeah, if you were wondering whether you should go or if tickets are available, I was told earlier today that they still have tickets. And
I'm going Wednesday.
They've got the value games. Yeah, I'm going to try to get down there in the locker room or into the clubhouse this week as well and take it in because this is – last year, the ending of the season was amazing.
Yeah.
That building was amazing, and I want to see it this week. I think it's going to be
– Well, and you heard it. All the cool kids are going.
That's right.
Bob and I are going.
That's all
Lefko,
you –
Oh, Lefko. Not so much about
I'm going.
Coolness. Oh, yeah.
Are you going?
When, though.
I'm not sure about cool. But
I'll go when I know you guys are going.
Okay. No.
You can be part of our
proud
crowd of the crew. All right, coming up, Pete Carroll weighing in on the defense and how the Seahawks move on from this loss. We'll bring you his Monday press conference next with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.